Hello there. Hello there. Hello there. Hello there. Hello there. Hello there. Another happy landing.
What's up, everybody? I'm Big Lovin'. This is Don Della Snooch. Welcome to the Escape Pod, episode 36, The Watchmen.
What's up, everybody? Clinky clank.
Clinky clank.
Clinky clank.
Clinky clank. I love it. I love it. What's up, buddy?
Facebook user says, well, hello, ladies. I got one guess on who that is.
Well, yeah.
Dirty. I don't know why the Facebook usernames don't fucking pop over.
I don't either. It doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't fucking get it.
We're using their platform. No, we're not. Our platform came from... Never mind, I'll shut up.
Yeah, we're cross-platforming to...
Probably why.
To Facebook. I don't know why they're being dicks.
Dragon Buddy is missing because he's still playing Pokemon Go.
Come on, bro.
You gotta get your priorities, buddy. That hurts a little.
Right up top, we got Kelly in the chat. We got Just Jen. We've got Keith Lehman chilling.
Hell yeah.
I think that's it so far, right?
And the Facebook user.
Hopefully within earshot is Jess. Happy birthday, Jess.
Yeah, happy birthday, dude.
Yep, definitely. Fucking big shout out from the Escape Pod on your birthday. Should have programmed one of these buttons to say happy birthday, but instead we'll just give him a happy birthday wee.
Yes.
You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all your favorite podcasting apps like iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. Check us and our sister pods out on podbelly.com.
If you're listening to this podcast, please consider joining us live on Wednesday nights on YouTube at youtube.com/C/ATSW The Escape Pod, all one word.
Please join us on patreon.com and search ATSW in the Escape Pod in the search creator bar.
Shout outs. We got to get in, brother. You ready to get in these shout outs?
Yep.
First and foremost, always got to give that shout out to the mothership. That is from a Gen X point of view, or most recently they did an All Things Star Wars podcast. And that was fantastic. That was fantastic. It was so nostalgic, even though they hadn't gone for that long, really. But it was just like, yay, we're back. I loved it.
For sure.
I loved it.
It was a good episode, too.
Yeah, it really was. They talked about The Mandalorian, and that was dope. I was digging the shit out of that. Next, we got to get to Use and Abuse with Kim and Scott. They're doing their thing over in Arizona, where the weather's nice, or at least nicer than here.
Yeah, 21 degrees this morning.
Yeah, it was cold. I was wearing a hoodie and my Carhartt. It was cold. Next, let's give our shout out to Keith Lehman of Layman's Terms on Facebook. He's doing his thing. He's got a page. Go check out his page. He gets in there, did some drunken banter, and he is the man to give us that mana because we all need a little life. And then don't forget to check out Big Swede for Big Swede's Excellent Adventure and or Tactical Swede on YouTube or something, something, something Swede or I'm Sexy and I Swede It or, oh, God, this pre-Swede's everywhere or it's so sticky and gross. Pre-Swede.
Wet Trask Soup Swede.
Wet Trask Soup. Yeah. Yeah,
it has squid in there.
I don't know what it was, but it was still alive. I'm not having none of that.
No.
Check out our homies, the Brew Guys, on YouTube. They will get you drinking in the right direction.
Patreon shout outs: Scott and Kim Rasmussen, Jen and Jess Bolt, Big Swede, Lunar Girl and Dragon Buddy, Richie the King Arm Rooster, Old Man Johnson, Eric Dub Williams, Philly Dave Martin, and as always, Nostalgia Inc. for sponsoring the Escape Crate.
Hell yeah.
So somebody just won the Escape Crate a couple weeks ago.
Yes, and we will get that out soon. We're waiting on the thing to be done, and the thing is done, yep. And I just get it to Don, and then Don will get it out.
Yep, one last goodie to go in the box, and then shippy ship.
Oh, yeah. And it's
all the way to Arizona.
It's a big one this time. There's a lot of shit. It's a
big box.
Yeah, it's a big box. So
it's got a big box in it.
We look forward to seeing your unboxing video there, Scott.
Yep. Hopefully, yeah, don't forget that you got to record it so that we can have it sent over to our friends and have it professionally edited. Since they did such a good job last time, they're going to have to keep doing it.
Yeah, we're putting them in business.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. So, you ready for movie news?
Let's get in the movie news, my friend.
Movie news. So, this is kind of a weird stack of bullshit here. Johnny Depp is done with the Harry Potter Fantastic Beasts franchise. Johnny was also getting out of talks for future Pirates of the Caribbean projects. He'll still receive an 8-figure salary for his role that was like a paper play contract for Fantastic Beasts because they did shoot a scene or two, which I thought was bizarre. Can you imagine 8 figures and you probably showed up to set 1 or 2 days?
I'd be okay with that if it was coming to my bank account.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I guess this all stems from his ongoing legal battles with Amber Heard. And somehow he lost some defamation case or something. So, so I guess basically they get to still call him a wife batterer, even though she assaulted him as well.
Jeez.
What's up, Ghost Pepper?
GP.
The whole thing's fucking bizarre and crazy. Why she gets to keep her job and he has to go to fucking Hollywood jail. But, yeah. You know, it's not like he was broke, so there's that. He'll start working again after everybody forgets that they hate him. Well, that isn't even true, because most people are like, no, we still love him.
Luna Girl said, so when Brady's not there, does Don drift onto his side of the desk? And I don't think you do that, but I do think you get handsy with my side of the desk.
Yeah, I rub it.
Yeah. Or
just the chair, just the flat part.
Yeah, I figured you got a little. Why not?
Yeah, fuck yeah. But no, I still stay on my own side.
Yeah. His side is the way it's got to be.
It's the way it's got to be. Jonathan Majors from Lovecraft Country is going to play a character by the name of Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man 3. I don't know anything about that. Do you?
No.
I think that's probably deep cuts.
Yeah, I'm not. I enjoy the Ant-Man series as they've come out in the Ant-Man character in the movies now, but I can't say I was ever a big Ant-Man fan. So if that's a big deal, I'm unsure of if it's a big deal or not. But I got no problem admitting that.
What's up, Ron? Ron's in the chat now.
What's up, dude? Old man Johnson joining us in the chat. Mm-hmm, yes.
Yep. Ron Howard says that support for a Solo 2 bodes well for Disney to consider production.
I love his thought. I really think we're going to see it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I think so. Or maybe they don't do a movie. Maybe they do a series.
A little mini series.
Fuck yeah.
I would be with a little mini series. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty fucking cool.
What are you crinkling there, buddy?
Oh, I got to get some more mints because, you know, that's what I do.
That is. Did you throw them on my side of the desk like that? That's
just yep.
Awful.
That's how you do it. The first episode of Marvel's WandaVision was filmed in a classic black and white in front of a live studio audience, similar to that of I Love Lucy, kind of a love letter to the golden age of television, which I think is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And WandaVision will now, or is being pushed back a little bit, and it will air January 15th, 2021.
I wish there was going to be something on when we're off of work for our Christmas break.
Right. That sucks. I have plenty of shit to catch up on. Don't worry.
You know, I mean, I got some things I can catch up on too, but just something like that, you know, where the, Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow movie.
Yeah. That
would be coming out around then. That'd be a good title to watch during that time.
Yeah, I was thinking earlier, I was like, you know, I haven't been to the movie theaters since probably early February, and that's just sad.
Yeah, that makes
seems like I saw something right around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and it probably wasn't very Valentine's-y of a movie.
No, it was probably something fucking rubbishy.
Yes.
Probably nothing else on.
Yes.
Umbrella Academy is renewed for a third season. I don't know if you watched that.
I was going to ask you, have you seen any of that?
I've seen most of the first season. Tisha watched the second season, and I'm told that I need to jump into that. But first, I got to finish The Boys.
Yeah, you do. You really got to finish The Boys.
With mom and dad living here now, my TV watching has become much more adult-oriented. Because they don't want to watch comic book shows.
That's crap.
But I know, right? This is kind of interesting. According to Screen Rant, which, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt. I mean, they're not exactly "we've got this covered," but, you know, Screen Rant.
Right.
Keanu Reeves confirms that Constantine 2 is happening.
Nice.
I don't know if
the first Constantine was pretty dope.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, it was pretty. It made me feel a way watching that movie. Well, it made me feel a few ways watching that movie. Just like, whoa. Right.
Like when Whole Boy reaches into his chest and pulls all the fucking cancer and tar out of his lungs.
His lungs, yeah.
Yesterday. Yesterday, Lego Star Wars Holiday Special dropped on Disney Plus. Have you watched this yet?
No, I have not. I will, though. I might save to watch it like we were talking about Christmas time.
Yeah?
Maybe put it off, because it's something I can hold off on watching.
Yeah, but I mean, I think anytime's good times for Legos.
It's true. Maybe I watch it on Thanksgiving. I don't know yet.
Yeah, see, that might happen. Since our Thanksgiving is going to be single family this year.
Yeah.
It very well may be that I make everybody sit down and watch the Lego Star Wars Holiday Christmas Special.
That's awesome. You're going to fucking do it. Be thankful.
We're playing with Legos. Sit the fuck down.
Shut up and color.
Video game news. You ready?
Let's do this, man.
This is going to get ugly.
Because you're a dick. That's why.
Xbox celebrated the launch of the new Xbox Series 8 on the 10th by having Xbox Live servers crash midday.
Isn't that amazing?
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah.
But just to square that circle, both PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X have been experiencing catastrophic failures, causing the systems to reboot. That's crashing the game so hard that the system's like, fuck, I don't know what to do.
That's still bueno. I'm kind of glad I did it on the first run here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to be software, not hardware, but still something that's going to be a patch or two from now, I'm thinking.
Yeah, but
Isaac's in the chat.
Oh, what's up, Isaac?
Hey, buddy. What were you going to say?
I don't know, because Isaac being in the chat supersedes all.
Derailed you?
Yeah, totally derailed me. That's fucking
Ron
amazing.
Ron says that his new Xbox is doing just great.
That's good, buddy. That's good. I'm happy for you. I legit am. Uh-huh.
Minecraft released a new Star Wars pack.
Ooh.
If you're into the Minecraft Another thing that just happened, and I think we brought it up on the last show, The Sims came out with a new Star Wars pack.
Yeah, we talked about that last time.
And it's enough to make me think I should start playing The Sims. I probably won't, but, you know, TJ says that.
I would just have a bunch of stormtroopers marrying each other.
There you go. Just have them walking down the street, pacing back and forth.
Exactly, dude. That's all their hobbies would be.
Yeah. One more thing for video games. Both the Xbox and the PlayStation 5 have been selling out as fast as they can restock, no matter where they're at. So I think the Xbox is sold about 60% of what the PlayStation 5 is, just because, you know, more units. But they're getting ate up as soon as anybody shows a sign they have them.
That's so stupid.
What's that?
You're going to launch this shit. You know it's going to be the most sought-after shit ever. Come on. Come with it.
It seems to me like...
It seems like
this is a
problem.
Huh?
It seems like this is always an issue, every release.
Well, it might be a manufactured problem. You know, they might be doing this because it drums up attention and like a false sense of urgency.
Yeah.
And it just might play out. They might have warehouses with all these fucking things in it, and they're just letting them trickle out on purpose.
Yeah, that's dumb.
I wouldn't put a pass. I know that Nintendo did that with the Wii.
Yeah.
Hot Sheets?
Hot Sheets.
Hot Sheets. Boba Fett's miniseries begins filming for Disney Plus.
Woohoo!
I haven't seen any official stuff from Disney saying that.
But
everybody else is saying that.
That's why it's in the Hot Sheets, my friend.
That's why it's in the Hot Sheets. Wedding Crashers 2 reportedly in the works.
I've heard that for a while.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's like in the process of being produced.
Oh, nice.
And that's with Owen Wilson, right?
Yeah.
And what's his face? Fuck. Homeboy. What's his fuck, you know?
That guy.
The tall guy.
Yeah. I'm brain farting too, man. You don't look for me for help.
I can see his fucking face, dude.
Oh, if this boat's gonna sink, we're both going down together.
Somebody, Isaac knows everything. He'll say what the fuck it is. There it is, Vince Vaughn.
Exactly.
Just Jen came through in the clutch.
That's what I said.
You said what?
Vince Vaughn.
When?
Never. I was just trying to see if you would buy it.
All right. Marvel may be in talks to do a Ghost Rider movie with Nick Cage.
Again?
Yeah. I'd be into that. I'd kind of like to see him start showing up in other properties. Way more than I'd want to see him do his own.
Yeah. That's what I'd like to see.
You know, and then if there's enough interest in what they're doing with the character, then you can talk about making his own movie.
Right.
This one, you know, once again, I think this is true, but I don't know for sure. I caught it on the wire there. WandaVision takes place post Endgame.
Interesting.
But I don't particularly know that. You know, it could happen. Well, no, she was in Endgame, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She kind of lost her shit a little bit. It could happen all in her head in the moments right after when she kind of fruits out there for a little bit after Thanos rips the
Mind Stone
out of... why can't I think any of these fucking names tonight?
It happens, bro.
What's old boy's name?
Vision.
The Vision. Duh. Really going to get rough if this keeps up. Short Circuit is getting a remake, so that's kind of all right. I liked the Short Circuit movie.
Oh my god, that was awesome! I just hope hope the robot looks the same.
Yeah, yeah, or at least some real similar iteration of that.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Don't stray too far from the way it originally looked.
But I imagine a modern version of a robot like that would make fucking Johnny Five look like Wally.
Possibly.
I don't have a lot for sports. I don't know what you got on deck, but the Miami Marlins hired Kim Ng as general manager, making her the first female GM in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah,
I thought that was worth applause.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
All I've got for sports is what's going on in the Sidebar Cantina's Fantasy Football League.
Let's do it.
From last week, week 10, which I got to say, I didn't expect this. I really thought the Big Blue Milk and Foggies was going to kick my ass, but somehow or another, I pulled out my victory and Suck My Metachlorines defeated Big Blue Milk and Foggies 117.72 to 113.86. It was a close game.
Yeah,
She was leading majority of that game. Next up on there we have I Heart Diet Coke defeated Summer of Legends My Ass 147.66 to 121.26. Next up, dude, he was the guy. I said it. He was the guy, but he's been losing his ass. Legacy of Pain defeated Attack of the Swede 163.30 to 96.84. He's just falling off the rails, man.
Yeah, he's having the same problem that I had, where everything that I had that was a solid, reliable thing died. And
yeah,
basically, most of my entire team is based on what I found on the waiver wire.
That sucks. But you're still pulling out some victories.
Well,
because next up, we
maybe have two.
Detroit Death Stars defeats the Imperial Right Guard 98.28 to 82.92. Oh, that was a tongue twister.
He let me fucking have that one.
Yeah, barely.
And he's not even playing.
No, I know. Barely.
That's how sad my team is. I almost got beat by a guy that had one guy not on the on his roster. And then another guy that was out for COVID, I believe.
That'll happen.
That's what it took.
Yeah, that'll do you in if those guys aren't on the bench. I'm just saying, could fuck you up big time. All right, next up we have the Detroit or Master McCaffrey defeats Chewy's Angels 151.42 to 148.30. That's a pretty close ass game. Only a 3-point victory.
Yeah,
I wonder if that game was like that throughout. That would have been fun to watch. And then last but not least, we have Atco Adats defeats the Orange Jacket Men 153.14 to 113.06. And that is all I've got for sports, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And that's it. That's where we got to let it lie.
That's the best thing to do.
All right, you ready for some mandatory Mandalorian?
Get into it, my friend.
Let's get into it.
Hell yeah.
Chapter 10, The Passenger, written by Jon Favreau and directed by Peyton Reed. I had to look up who Peyton Reed is. I didn't have a fucking clue.
His name sounds like he's been a part of a lot of different things.
Yeah, but it's definitely, like, even looking at the stuff that he's worked on, I was like, I don't know anything about this guy. on the way back to Mos Pelgo, bandits use a tripwire to destroy Mando's speeder. Mando has to walk back to town with Fett's armor and the child in tow. Mando gets information on how to find others like him from Dr. Mandible. Not real creative. I just got to stop right there. The giant ant dude.
Yeah, but you know, that's because is it the director or the producer is the director? No, I think it's the director is the director of the Ant-Man movies.
Oh.
So that's kind of like a little like.
Oh, I like that then. I'll fuck off.
Yeah. Fair enough.
In exchange for this, Mando has to transport a passenger at sublight speed due to the fragile nature of her cargo. Her last brood, the last of her line. While the eggs are left unattended, the child sneaks a few eggy nuggies.
Yeah, he does. Delicious. So delicious.
In a run-in with the New Republic's X-Wings, they crash the Razor Crest into an underground cavern. The child wanders off and eats a baby spider from an egg in the cave. This little bastard.
That shit creeped me out, man.
Yeah?
And, like, spiders normally don't bother me, but that whole, oh, yeah.
My mom was sitting next to me watching this, and I'd already seen it once. So I, you know, would occasionally look over, and she'd be like, and then she'd be rubbing the back of her neck.
Yeah.
And then even after the show, she was like, oh, I fucking still feel shit crawling on me.
Oh, God, I believe it.
It was cracking me up.
That's awesome. That's so funny.
Hundreds of spiders chase the group back to the Razor Crest. When they try to escape, a giant spider drops onto the crest, damaging it further. X-Wing's pilots show up and take down the spider. And thanks for some of the Mando's previous good deeds, they let them go, but they won't help fix the ship.
No, that was kind of a dick move, man.
Kelly is not a fan of the fucking alien ice spiders as well. She's not a fan.
No, I was not a fan of those. They did a good job making those things like they were like ice spider slash octopus head. They were fucked, man. No.
I guess that they are creatures that were supposed to be in The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, they were originally done by Ralph McQuarrie, correct?
Yep, Ralph McQuarrie originally did the art on those. And these pretty much look exactly like Ralph's work. That's funny. Mando pressurizes the cockpit and hopes that he can make a planet where they can get repairs. That's pretty much where we leave them.
Yeah.
Really solid episode.
I still enjoyed it. It was, I mean, we were off that high of seeing Boba Fett at episode one, so everybody was expecting to see him in episode two. I got to be honest, I wasn't, but I still enjoyed the shit out of episode two.
Right. I really, so far, am enjoying the pacing.
Me too.
The first season, there was a couple of times where I was like, why aren't we just doing the next big thing? And then I kind of like these little things he gets tripped up on going from one place to another. Shit that he can't foresee, because that's kind of how life goes. Nothing is ever a fucking straight line.
Right.
Episode 11, The Heiress, written by Jon Favreau and directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. Man, I have trouble saying her name.
First off though, really quick, what a contrast from the episode she did from season one. Cause season one, she did the episode where they were on the shrimp farming planet.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah. Was it?
That one. And then the one where the watch shows up to save Mando's ass.
Okay, so the episode just before that, then.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yep. Cool. That one was my favorite from the first season.
I would say that's my favorite, but the one with the AT-ST is right there.
Really?
I mean, okay. It's right up there. I love that episode. So the Razor Crest limps to Trask. Mando manages to pull a Apollo 13 landing and procures the repairs needed to at least fuel it up. So Did you hear about this Apollo 13 business?
Yeah. How it was kind of an homage to her dad.
Yeah. Yeah. And a fan asked her on Twitter and she's like, yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty fucking cool.
I thought that was awesome.
Pretty classy. She's a chip off the old block. I've never seen Ron Howard say a shitty thing about anything.
Right. Right.
The Frog Lady reunites with her husband, and Mando goes to the local inn to find some info as to the whereabouts of the other Mandos. Following the lead, Mando boards a ship where the members of the crew lure him to the edge of a tank where they push the child into the mouth of a beast. Mando dives in.
Get that fucking kid out there.
Say that again.
They straight hockey puck that kid out there. They said, wow, slap shot him out there.
Totally, totally. That was the first thing that I thought of was like the guy had a hockey stick.
He just said, what?
And my favorite part about that whole sequence is when Baby Yoda realizes what the fuck's going on, he hits the button and closes the door on his little.
Oh, no, this ain't happening.
That or whatever. Yeah. Lunar Girl says she screamed out loud. That was one of the tensest moments of television I've seen in a long fucking time. I was legitimately unnerved.
Yeah, well, when they were stabbing him and he was coming up for breaths.
Uh-huh.
That shit had me going, man. I was like, "Oh god."
Yeah, that like drowning is one of my worst fears, so
yeah.
Watching Mando drown wasn't any better.
Exactly.
Three Mandalorians show up and kill the crew. Then they save the child. The Mandos take off their helmet, and their leader introduces herself as Bo-Katan.
Nice.
This was a fucking holy shit moment.
Hell yeah, it was.
Did you gather that we were dealing with Bo-Katan, like, before this moment? Like, did you recognize her armor and be like, oh, that's Bo-Katan?
But after the fact, I'm like, how did I not recognize it?
Right, right. Yeah, because her helmet is very specific.
Yeah, it has the artwork is very, very much away.
Right, and it seems that, if I remember correctly, you got a good shot of that helmet, like, two times before she even said who she was.
Yeah.
But I totally didn't even think about it. I'm like, oh, fucking sweet.
No, yeah, that's right. I was caught up in the action of it all.
Right. Jen says, being swallowed whole by giant reptilian things seems to be a theme this season. Yeah, I had a phase like that in my 20s.
Oh, my God. Oh my god.
Anyway, Bo-Katan explains her Mandalorian heritage and that the watch consists of zealots who follow the ancient way of the Mandalore, which mainstream Mandalorian society just plain does not.
Right.
So that was the first time that Din Djarin was hinted into the fact that he's actually part of a like a religious subsect of the Mandalorians, yep, as opposed to like the main thrill group.
Right, right.
Bo-Katan enlists the Mandalorian to help her hijack the Imperial cargo ship full of weapons to use to help her regain control of Mandalore. Bo-Katan decides she wants to take the whole ship at the end, and when she reaches the cockpit, she demands that the captain tell her where the Darksaber is. He decides to eat an electric pill.
Yeah, he does.
It was pretty cool. Like it was like a cyanide tooth, except it was a fucking electric pill. I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought it was neat too. I liked how it sizzled out in his face and shit.
Yeah. How much fucking voltage would have to be in that little pill to kill a whole motherfucker?
Yeah, but it started in the teeth. And if you've ever done like the metal on your teeth, man, God, it would probably be quick.
Oh, yeah. Just chewing on a piece of aluminum foil is about to make you shit in your pants. Do that one more time. No, not that. Anyway, Bo-Katan thanks the Mandalorian and invites him to join them in the future on other missions, saying his bravery will be remembered. He must continue his own quest, though. While stating that the offer still stands, Bo-Katan directs him to the city of Caladan on the forest planet of Corvus, where he'll seek out and find a Jedi called Ahsoka Tano.
Yes.
I at that moment, I was like, oh, it's fucking happening.
Yeah, it was like this just became real.
Yeah, there's no misdirect. We're going to see Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano, and it's going to be glorious. I want to see how they explain away her change of her voice.
They don't need to. We're just letting
they may not even address it. But, you know, they may also just, you know, be like, well, this is a much older Ahsoka Tano, so why would she sound like a little girl?
Exactly.
Because she was a super young girl in the Clone Wars. And was she in Rebels?
Yes.
So even then, she was a young woman.
Right.
Either way, I'm fucking in.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm so excited. But I don't look forward. I don't expect to see her in the next episode.
No, I wouldn't expect her. What are we on, the third episode? We might not see her till episode 6, possibly 5, maybe even 6.
I'm saying 5 just based off of the things I've been hearing on the interwebs. Dave Filoni directs that episode, and Ahsoka's Dave.
Oh, you know what? Yeah. So, I did hear that. That's almost a guarantee.
Yeah. So I'm saying
he's going to direct the episode, I bet.
Yeah.
Nostalgia Inc. in downtown Jackson is your one-stop shop for comic books, graphic novels, tabletop games, supplies, and tons of other super nerdy stuff.
They have everything from your favorite superhero comics to all the latest manga and horror graphic novels.
Superman, Spider-Man, The Avengers, My Little Pony, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, My Hero Academia, Star Wars, and Batman are just a few of the familiar titles you will see while browsing through the store.
And don't forget to check out their back catalog.
And for all your tabletop needs, Nostalgia has the largest in-stock selection in the area of Dungeons & Dragons books, miniatures, and more. As well, they have the latest Magic the Gathering and Pokemon card game releases.
Store hours are currently 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
So come to downtown Jackson and get nostalgic at Nostalgia Inc. What's up, everybody? This is Big Lovin' and Don Della Snooch.
We wanted to take a minute to tell you how to get more from the Escape Pod experience.
Become a Patreon supporter and you will get lots of bonus content, including movie reviews, videos from Comic-Con, behind-the-scenes content, and more.
But even better, Patreon supporters get extra entries into the quarterly drawing for the Escape Crate.
The Escape Crate is full of great stuff like t-shirts, Funko Pops, stickers, mugs, and other random goodies.
The higher the membership level, the more entries per month you'll earn. You also can receive one entry per episode you share on social media.
So if you have a couple extra bucks, toss us some. We will use it for covering the cost of hosting the show, paying for booths at cons, and equipment upgrades.
Thanks for all the support, and now back to the show.
And we're back.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah. Oh, you love the Yoda.
The Yoda is back, and it makes a special show for you and for me.
Guess who's back? Yoda's back.
Back again. Take a chance.
So the main topic of the show.
Sith. They're bullshit.
Brady finally watched The Watchmen.
Yes, I did.
So, The Watchmen is a 2009 American neo-noir superhero film based in 1986-87 DC Comics that was written by Alan Moore and Dave Gibson.
Yes, it was.
The film adaptation was directed by Zack Snyder.
Yes.
Zack Snyder makes things I like.
He does. I'm a fan.
It's true. Is true. I would love this to work. Boom, it works. In an alternate United States, beginning in 1939, during a fading interwar period, a team of costumed crime fighters is formed called the Minutemen. In 1960s Vietnam era, through the mid-1980s Cold War, we see the rise of the Watchmen team of the heroes, whose existence dramatically affects world events. In 1959, after his apparent death in an intrinsic field generator accident, Dr. John Osterman makes his body as a godlike being dubbed Dr. Manhattan.
That was kind of an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident. It was definitely an accident. I mean, I did say it was an accident.
Well, never mind. Shut up.
How long was it into this movie before you noticed that they were hell-bent on showing you Dr. Manhattan's dick?
Every time they showed it, I couldn't stop looking at it.
It was giant and blue.
There it is. There's blue junk.
Yeah, giant blue dick on the screen.
Yeah, that's Papa Smurf right there.
It is. It is. And I'd never read the comic books, so I don't know if that was in the comic books or if they just decided that they were going to do that in this movie because they could. And I don't know, maybe that was part of Alan Moore's vision, but he couldn't write it in the comic book, so they just played the shit out of it.
I don't know, but it was there. It was just right in front of your face.
It was there. It was on the widescreen.
Yeah, it was there the whole time.
The U.S. government utilizes his power to win the Vietnam War and gain a strategic advantage over the Soviet Union, which by 1985 threatens thermonuclear war.
It was crazy when they're in the Vietnam War and how he helped them win it, and then how that some of the Vietnamese wanted to be captured. So they can surrender to him?
Yeah.
That was pretty...
like he was some kind of deity.
Yeah, exactly. That was pretty odd.
But wouldn't you? Like, if you'd never seen anything, of course, like him, and, like, that showed up in real life, wouldn't you be like, well, this is obviously a god, and I should worship him?
No. Not because of my religious beliefs, so no.
But you wouldn't have those beliefs. You would be from Vietnam.
Oh, but that's a completely, totally different. I'm not thinking in the mind of a Vietnamese.
Oh, okay.
You got to let me get in that headspace.
I just watched it happen in real time.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And as my Vietnamese self, I'm not going to let it happen.
I watched you leave one headspace and get into a completely other one. It wasn't no giant blue dick, but it worked. The U.S. government utilizes his power. I already said all that. The comedian suppresses evidence of the Watergate scandal. By overwhelming public support, the 22nd Amendment is repealed, allowing President Richard Nixon to win a third term.
That was so crazy. I was explaining this to my father-in-law, and I was like, I'm going to paint a picture. I was like, Richard Nixon, he's not in his third term as president. So just think about where our world is right now. And he's right. Like, oh, my God.
It's pretty fucked. As anti-vigilante sentiment sweeps the nation, coupled with the nationwide police strike, the Keene Act is passed in 1977, declaring all costume adventuring and vigilantism is illegal. While most heroes like Daniel Dryburgh, the Night Owl, and Lori Jupiter, Silk Spectre, retire, Dr. Manhattan and the comedian become government agents, and Rorschach continues to operate outside the law.
Yeah,
Rorschach. How about you? Rorschach's my dog.
I liked Rorschach.
Like, of all the characters in this, Rorschach was my favorite. And I mean, really,
in the beginning of it either.
The whole thing's kind of narrated by him.
Yeah.
You know, right. He is the voice of the movie.
Yeah.
Now, having not read the comic book, which is weird because I actually own the graphic novel. There's no reason why I haven't read this.
Yeah. I wanna...
It's one of those things that I saw the movie. I picked up the graphic novel because I knew I should read it. And it's still sitting in the same place that I set it down at.
Right.
But Rorschach is by far one of my favorite characters in all of this.
Night Owl was my favorite character.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really enjoyed Night Owl because I expected them to really play off the Batman, and they didn't. Yeah.
No. They surprised he's definitely not Batman.
No, and they surprised me with that, and that's where I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In 1985, investigating the murder of Edward Blake, Rorschach discovers Blake was the comedian. Theorizing that someone is eliminating former costumed heroes, he warns his retired comrades. Dr. Manhattan ignores Rorschach, Dryburgh is skeptical, and the vigilante-turned-billionaire Adrian White, I can't remember how it's said in the show.
Yeah.
Veet? Veet. I think it's Veet. His costume name was Ozymandias. They dismiss Rorschach's suspicions. During a televised interview, a report proposes that Dr. Manhattan was given several people close to him cancer. Dr. Manhattan exiles himself to Mars, giving the Soviets the confidence to invade Afghanistan. Rorschach's suspicions appear correct when Veet, gosh, I wish I watched it recently enough that I remember that, survives an assassination attempt, and Rorschach finds himself framed for the murder of a former villain, Moloch. Which I really dug that character too. You know, he was just like a dude that used to do some shit, and now he just wants to sit in his little fuckhole apartment until he dies.
Yeah, exactly. His ears trip me out, man.
Yeah, his ears were cool. They did a really good job with him, and he was both creepy and you felt for his position. You know, he's like, I was a bad guy, but now I'm just trying to fucking die in my shitbox apartment.
Right, exactly.
Arrested and sent to prison, Rorschach is revealed to be Walter Kovacs. He explains his childhood abuse to psychiatrist Dr. Malcolm Long and a turning point in his career as Rorschach. He discovered a child kidnapper had murdered his victim and fed her to his dogs. Killing the kidnapper, Kovac becomes Rorschach. So that whole thing was like an interesting flashback, you know?
Yeah, it really was.
And you realize like how fucked this guy really is.
Yeah.
Jupiter goes to stay with Dryburgh, and they decide to come out of retirement, helping Rorschach break out of prison.
I love that fight scene in the prison.
Fuck yeah, when he's fucking up all them mobsters, and there's that one midget guy that's in charge.
Yes. And then when he kills them both and he's just standing there and he's like, oh shit.
Right. I really like the way he electrocutes the one dude.
Oh yeah. With the toilet, after he smashes him with the toilet, and then
smashes the toilet.
Yeah, yep. That was awesome.
Transporting Jupiter to Mars. The way that sentence reads is really funny.
Yeah.
What's her first name again?
Lori.
Lori Jupiter. Anyway, transporting Lori Jupiter to Mars. Dr. Manhattan probes her memories and discovers she's Blake's daughter. He realizes the miracle of her life created, although Blake raped Jupiter's mother. And holy shit, was that the most uncomfortable thing to watch?
Yeah, it was.
Zack Snyder did a really good job setting up the tension leading up to that scene. And then it doesn't matter how many times I watch it, I'm uncomfortable during that scene.
Yeah.
Maybe that says more about me than the movie, but I don't know.
No, it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's what you had said, that it made you feel really uncomfortable as well.
It really did.
So he had raped Jupiter's mother, though they later fell in love and they returned to Earth. A gang murders Hollis Mason, the first Night Owl, making him thinking that he was Dryburgh. Rorschach and Dryburgh discover that Veidt is behind the conspiracy. This is when they first figure out Old Boy has been whacking supers, basically.
Yeah.
I wonder how much influence that concept ended up having on the people who created The Incredibles.
Oh, yeah, that's a thought, huh?
I wonder if they were like, oh, we'll do this thing where the soups can't be soups anymore.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a bad guy killing the old supers.
Right.
Because, like, he killed that one guy in the cave. And
yeah.
Anyway, Rorschach's record records his suspicions in his journal, which he leaves at the office of the New Frontiersman, a right-wing tabloid. Rorschach and Dryburgh confront Veidt. I'm going to say Veidt for the rest of the time. I promise. At his Antarctic retreat, which who would have a fucking giant lair carved into a ice block in Antarctica?
Yeah, exactly.
That seems horrible. Yeah. Makes me cold just thinking about it. He admits to orchestrating Blake's murder, Manhattan's exile, Rorschach's framing, and the attempt on his own life. He explains his plan to unify the U.S. and the USSR by detonating energy reactors in the world's major cities, generating a radioactive decay signature similar to Dr. Manhattan's. Rorschach and Dryburgh attempt to stop Veidt, but he subdues them and reveals his plan is already in motion. The reactors have exploded, and world leaders believe Dr. Manhattan is responsible for the attack. Shit's heavy.
Yeah.
Jupiter and Dr. Manhattan return to a devastated New York City and determine Veidt is responsible, teleporting to his base. Failing to kill Dr. Manhattan, Veidt shows a televised news report revealing the U.S. and the Soviet Union are united against their common enemy, Dr. Manhattan. Though his allies agree to conceal the truth to preserve the new global peace, Rorschach refuses. Dr. Manhattan intervenes and complies with Rorschach's demands to kill him and keep him from revealing the truth.
Dude, that was messed up when that happened, dude.
Right.
He's like, just do it. And I'm like, wait, boom. I was like, oh my God.
Right. This whole fucking movie is like that. It's so super fucking dark.
Yeah.
And the themes in it are super deep. And you spend all your time going, I don't know who to root for. This is fucked up.
But I love it.
Anytime you're reading something that Alan Moore wrote, though, you're kind of get some of those feelings.
Dude, we didn't talk about it, but I'll talk about it. I really enjoyed this movie.
For real. It's one of my favorites. Like, as far as superhero movies, like anybody's like, hey, what should I watch? I'm like, you should watch The Watchmen.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really kind of some of the best superhero fiction has to offer. I mean, and it's not because of the individual characters. You know, we're not talking about Batman and Superman and, you know, these individual characters, Iron Man, Hulk, you know, where they're like, well, these guys are the story. The story in this is the story. The superheroes are just characters in the story.
Yeah.
You know, that like it's usually the story's built around the character, and this is the opposite. Like the characters are just players in the greater story.
Yeah, this is such a good movie.
Super good. I mean, and the graphic novel, I'm told, is just as good.
Yeah.
Dr. Manhattan departs permanently to another galaxy, while Dryberg rejects Veidt's beliefs that world peace was worth all the lives sacrificed. Dryberg and Jupiter return to New York with plans to continue fighting crime. And Jupiter reveals to her mother that she knows Blake was her father. An editor at the New Frontiersman gives a young employee permission to print a collection of Crank submissions along with Rorschach's journal. That's pretty much the end of the movie. Like, that's kind of where it dries up.
That was sweet, though.
Fuck yeah.
And I want to watch the series, the series now, based on...
Dude, the HBO series is so fucking good, but it is not a retelling of this this novel. It is its own story.
Right, that's what I've heard.
And the main character, I know I looked up what her name was. Do you remember what it was?
No, I sure don't, man.
Okay. It was something Knight. I believe. Like her character is fucking so good. And the way her life is laid out and disrupted by all the things going on, like it's super racially motivated or not motivated, racially charged. Like, it feels very poignant to what's been going on in our nation over the last, like 4 or 5 years,
right?
Where there's a lot of conversations that people have been trying to have, and then there's a lot of people in the country that just don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah,
this is very much about that kind of a thing where they're like, look, this has been festering for a while, and you cannot fucking ignore it anymore.
Yeah,
it's. I think it's 6 hours, you know, tip to tail.
Yeah.
I think there's 6 episodes and they're about an hour a piece. So worth your time. I can't give it any better review. Like I just, without giving you guys plot points and you going, what the fuck? Why'd you tell me that?
Right.
Like,
right. I'm going to check it out though.
Yeah, give it the time for sure. So just a little bit of fucking odds and ends. This movie made, maybe not. What happened? Mutter Trucker. This movie made $25 million on its first day. So that's not, you know, in theaters, like that's a serious number, fucking $25 million your first day. You know, like you're talking like Wonder Woman, Star Wars, they're hitting $1 billion opening weekend, you know, right, on a 4 day stretch. But fucking $25 million is solid for a movie that, or, you know, a property that only comic book people know about.
Kelly said she really wants to watch it now. You need to, because this movie is so good.
It is fucking so good.
really, really good. I'm probably going to sleep to it tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm probably going to put it on to fall asleep to tonight.
The movie later finishes up the weekend at $55 million, which is pretty solid. It's the biggest opening weekend that any Alan Moore property had done to date. So it was a big success. And I mean, it's a big success, and we've got, I don't know how many people in the chat have never seen it.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, that doesn't even include the entire rest of our audience. I have no idea how many people are going to be like, hey, I've never seen this movie. And, you know, fucking drop what you're doing and go watch this movie.
Yeah, I recommend it. Like I said, I'm going to watch it again. I'm going to watch it a few times. I feel like there's stuff I missed and stuff I need to see. And
did you buy a copy of this?
I bought it. Ever since we started this show, I've been buying everything we do on iTunes.
Okay. I'm looking up real fast to see where it's streaming.
It was Joker. Because you let me buy Joker when we first started doing this.
Oh, yeah, I did. I did. All right, where the fuck is it? I'm trying to see where this is streaming so I can tell people where they can check it out. And it's not working. Maybe it's not streaming anywhere.
I know you can buy it on iTunes.
Yeah.
I bought iTunes for $14.99.
How much did you say?
$14.99.
Okay. It is streaming on HBO Max. And DC Universe. So if you have any one of those, but then you can rent it just about anywhere or buy it just about anywhere.
Yeah.
So, but HBO Max, you can stream it.
We need to start shit up, dude. Somebody's got to pee again.
No. Come on, bro.
What?
What?
Not this guy.
Like, we already talked about the fact that you really like this. And, I, you know, this is the first time that you've seen it. And, you know, beyond just liking it, you got any other impressions that you want to share?
I really think the people who made The Boys saw this first and they're like, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I can definitely get behind that. It is very dark and gritty. And all the superheroes are faced with their own humanity, which we don't get a lot in movies.
Yeah.
A lot of times, you know, we get their persona, but we don't have to deal with their humanity. And this is all about the opposite. It's all about their humanity.
Yeah.
So anything else?
No, I can't recommend enough to the people who haven't seen it. I hadn't watched it for the first time until yesterday. I watched it for the first time yesterday, and it's almost a 3-hour movie, but it's so great that it's almost a 3-hour movie. I wanted more.
Yeah, well, you'll get that with the series for sure. And I want to say that the series is on HBO as well. For sure. Yeah. HBO Max, I think you're going to find the series.
Yeah.
I got one last data point. You know, The Watchmen earned $107.5 million domestically, which is a pretty good showing because it's not a huge CG technological marvel. You know, there's some CG, especially when Dr. Manhattan's concerned.
Right.
But it's not what you would consider. It's not the bulk of the film or whatever. So $107 million, they won a bunch of their money back. Yeah. But then it turned around and pushed up to $185 million worldwide.
Nice.
So this was quite a little cash cow for a movie that didn't get a sequel in the mid-2000s. If you were making $180 million worldwide. Like, they were shoving sequels in your face.
Yeah.
So, you got anything else you want to add, buddy?
No. Watch the movie. If you haven't, Kelly, Luna Girl, watch it. Have some time with the Dragon Buddy and watch this movie because it's really good.
Definitely. Drag your buddy.
Drag your buddy or have a Dragon Buddy and enjoy this shit.
If you have a Dragon Buddy, wait a minute. This is getting dark.
Or it's getting sexy.
It's definitely always been sexy in one way or another.
That's true.
Everybody, make sure that you like this video. I know that there's a spot there on YouTube for you to smash that like button, and we definitely appreciate when you do. Reach out to us. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes or a 0-star review, 2.5-star review, Brady's Raiders hat silly review, whatever you got to do. What?
That's fucking awful with your fucking Detroit shit fuck hat.
Anyway, your reviews really help people decide whether or not they want to give us the time to listen to the show. So we really appreciate that. And like I said, Brady will read that live on the show. So you can make him say all kinds of things like, I really hate the Raiders, or the Raiders really suck, or I'd rather watch SpongeBob than the Raiders.
What's the Detroit Lions record?
We're not talking about that.
Yeah. All right.
So they won this week. They won this week. They were ahead 24-3 at halftime.
Yeah.
And they won the game 27-24 in overtime.
Yeah.
So if that tells you the kind of game it was.
The Raiders fucking shit.
The Raiders. I like it.
All right. You
subscribe
ready?
And yeah, keep going. Do it.
Subscribe and download on your favorite podcast app at ATSW The Escape Pod.
Check out our pod family, like all things Star Wars and from a Gen X point of view. Use and abuse, layman's terms, tactical Swede, and the podbelly.com network shows like Sofa Kings and from a Gen X point of view. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you guys next time.
May the force
be with you. Go blue.
I got to piss. I didn't even have anything in there. I had to piss.